following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn 3 of A Worthy Opponent.
Here, why'd you jump the music?
I have no idea. We have a guest in our studio tonight.
My fault. you wanted your theme song was mine. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was
that would be our editor.
In music, and you just started talking right over it.
So, are we live?
Yes,
we're live.
Hello, everybody. This is Black Lace making an ultimate fool of herself on A Worthy Opponent. I have so much to talk about this week. I am so excited. We did the virtual ticket to BlizzCon. We learned a lot about Hearthstone. There were so many panels and little interviews all over the place about Hearthstone. It was incredible. There was also the, what do they call it? Esports, which I never went for esports. I could never get interested in it. I was loving watching the games.
BlizzCon 2013.
All of the Blizzard people were there. It's so great. They introduced Hearthstone, which they said was the very first time Blizzard ever announced that they were going to release a game and then released it in the same calendar year. Pretty impressive. They had a few other games too, but we're not here to talk about the other games, even though all of that stuff was pretty cool too.
No, but we are going to talk about things that we learned at BlizzCon. One of them is very exciting to the people who do not have their beta keys right now. We have learned that they just did another rollout within the last couple of days of beta keys. However, next month, they are doing live beta. So everybody who's been waiting, yes, you can get on board, jump into the live beta. They haven't open beta. They haven't said how yet, but it is going to open beta in December. And then hopefully at the end of December, early January, they're looking for release.
Yes, release of the game itself. But the big news about the release is not just when it would be released, because that was an estimate. Anybody who's played a Blizzard game knows they never release a game until they're satisfied that it's finished. Even games they put years into developing, they've scrapped and gone back to the drawing board on, just because if they're not comfortable with it, they won't release it. But when it does come out, and man, did the crowd go wild when they heard this, they'd already said that it would be available for the PC and the Mac, and also the iPad. In fact, you were able to play it on the floor at BlizzCon on the iPad. But the really big news is that it will also be available for the iPhone and, wait for it, the Android.
Yep. Now, they're saying about that, though, that's going to be the second half of next year, so you have to be a little patient from that. It's going to be at the beginning of next year that it'll be the iPad. It'll be the second half of next year for the iPhone and the Android.
Really
very, very much looking forward to it. Yes. Now we can play it everywhere. At work? In the bathroom? No. Never mind.
No. You're not supposed to play at work. Unless you work for Blizzard, then I guess you're supposed to play at work. But they had some people there. In addition to the usual people you see at Blizzard, they actually had quite a few of the Hearthstone people. Their lead designer for Hearthstone, Eric Dodds, was there, and the technical designer, Ben Brode. They did a great segment. And then later on, we caught Jason Chase, the production director for Hearthstone, who did some interviewing with some of the esports announcers, Kat Hunter and Jeff Keighley. So we're just getting information from everywhere. And then, of course, sprinkled throughout the convention, all the developers of the different games were talking about it. You know, Chris Metzen was talking about it. He's a bigwig at Blizzard in the creative department. The president and CEO, Mike Morheim, he was talking about it. So It's a good sign that Blizzard is pumped for this game, because we sure are.
Yep, it started as a very small crew, actually, doing the work for Hearthstone. Really small crew doing it, and then now they've branched out that they're having other people come in on it to do the iPad and the other fine-tuning. So it's definitely growing right within Blizzard.
Small compared to others. When the other Blizzard franchises came out, they had much bigger teams. There were 60 people who were on the start when WoW launched. 60 people on that development team. 75 people for Diablo. Hearthstone only has 15, and they've come so far so fast with just those 15.
Yeah, they've done a marvelous job. They really have. They've also let us know that Hearthstone will always be about WoW. I was very excited to hear that. They're not going to incorporate any StarCraft into it or Diablo 3. It's always going to be strictly WoW.
But there will be expansions. They didn't talk at all about what those expansions would be or when they would be, but there'll be expansions. And, you know, with the announcement of the next new WoW expansion, Warlords of Draenor, I could just see someday getting a whole set revolving around the Warlords of Draenor. That's really exciting.
Yeah, I liked how they were talking about doing it. They had mentioned was they're going to be doing them as adventures. So you're going to take your decks into an adventure, and you're going to fight against whatever opponents. And by beating these opponents with your own deck in the adventure, you're going to win cards from that adventure theme. So that's how you're going to increase your cards that way, too. That is just fascinating. They could go in so many different directions with that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of ideas they have on the table. They talked about things that they had that they scrapped, and they talked about the progress of the development of the game. They went on to tell us their philosophies. You know, they said they wanted to make it focused. You know, let's focus on Warcraft. Let's focus on the card play. Let's not focus on all kinds of extra stuff, but just good gameplay. And they buckled down and they got that. They wanted to make it deep. So it wasn't just this, okay, play some cards, la la la, you win. They wanted to draw out all of the deep emotional and historical and lore and excitement from World of Warcraft and put that into this game and imbue it with life all by itself. They said they also wanted to make it physical. And that's when you open the game, you're going to see like this box, and the box opens, and when you open decks of cards, it actually seems, even though it's virtual, that there's a physical component to the game.
When you open your deck of cards, there are five cards, they literally explode. There's an explosion of confetti. It looks like shredded paper all over the place. The cards scatter in front of you, and they float there. And if you actually have a deck that you haven't opened yet, it sits there, and every once in a while, it kind of pulsates and dances around and then stops again as if to say, open me, open me. For something that's a computer game, it's a very physical computer game.
I think there's fairies in those decks.
And they're fairy dragons.
Saying, open me, open me.
There's fairy
dust
dragons
popping up. They like dust. Like what they showed when they were developing the game, you throw the card down on the platform and little dust pops up. They actually tried an idea where they had you pretending you were an actual inn in Warcraft and you're playing the cards and moving game pieces on a board.
Mm-hmm. And in Warcraft itself, if you go into some of the inns, they now have people, NPCs, playing Hearthstone in some of the inns in Warcraft. I haven't seen it, but I want to go to some of the inns and just check it out and see if I can find somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fly all over Azeroth to find which inns are playing Hearthstone.
That could be cool. So it is fun. They are, you know, there's an integration there, but they're, again, still separate, which is nice, too.
Eric and Ben, they were just great, full of life, full of interest. They wanted to make sure that we knew where their philosophies laid, you know, and that way, I mean, the amount of stuff that they scrapped on the way to the game we know so far was just amazing. But they wanted to stress that the gameplay should be fast. They had all kinds of things that were like, this is slow, this will take forever. So they revamped them in the name of making it fast. Because they stressed, you know, if you sit down and you want to raid in Warcraft, that's going to take hours of your time. They wanted this to be like a 10 to 20 minute thing. You know, I have a break for lunch, let me go play this game, and you could do it. You know, let me get home from work and before dinner play a game, and you could do it. And it is fast play. I managed to play one game between dinner and this recording.
Except for every once in a while, I'll just, when I like want to go to bed at night, I'm just going to play one more game, but then I just want to play one more game after that, and maybe just one more game after that. Before I know it, I've played like five or six games, and I have to, I mean, it's fun. It really, like Warcraft, it does suck you in, but not as much. You can get up and leave, but it's just, it is such a great game. They did such a spectacular job.
Well, all Blizzard games are time sinks. You know that. You get into a game and hours later, like, how could it, is that AM or PM? What time is it?
But again, you don't have to be like that. If you have a little bit more self-control than I do, you can actually stop after a couple games, get up and walk away. I just like, they're still tweaking. They're still doing a lot of updates on cards. They're still scrapping cards and changing cards. They were talking about that as well.
I wanted to talk about some of those cards, actually. Anybody that played Magic the Gathering may remember cards like the Chaos Orb, which you got to flip like a baseball card, and when it landed on another card, you could, you know, discard that card from the game. Then they had this Unglued series. Do you remember Unglued, Black Lace? Well, anyway, Unglued was all these really wacky cards, an entire expansion about it. They had three cards that they showed us at BlizzCon. One was called Devouring Ooze, and the ability was you gain plus one health and attack for each game you've lost in a row. Another one was the Auto Pecker 4000, a little mechanical chicken. Deal one damage to any player who mouses over this minion. That sounded like it would have been fun, but maybe
they
a little annoying. And then the really crazy one, the World Flipper X50. Flip your opponent's screen upside down.
The whole screen would turn upside down. They scrapped those, and they seem like just fun cards. They did come up with a really fun card. For being at BlizzCon or being a virtual ticket owner, they have this wonderful gold card that is available. And just so that people don't miss out on it, I'll let Autumn's Bane talk about the card itself. It happens to be about one of my favorite things in Warcraft. But the people who weren't at BlizzCon and didn't get a virtual ticket will still be able to, through disenchanting, will be able to create this card. So you'll be able to get it even if you weren't there.
Well, through enchanting, but I guess you have to disenchant to get
disenchant
the dust.
Disenchant to enchant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that'll be just any card in the collection of this game can be crafted by someone. This is the only game I've ever seen that's free to play where there are well, at least for now, there's nothing exclusive to the payer. If you're not paying, you can still play the same things as everyone else. It just may take a little extra work to do it. You know, for someone who has zero budget to play a game, then they can invest the time and do these things. But people who are familiar with Blizzard, if you've ever seen a BlizzCon before, or if you've ever been to the Darkmoon Fair,
Or before the Darkmoon Fair was even created.
Or Silver Moon in the World of Warcraft game, there was a band called Elite Tauren Chieftains. They used to put level numbers on them. So it's like level 60 Elite Tauren Chieftain, then 70. And this comes from Samwise Didier, one of the lead artists, and Mike Morhaime, the president of Blizzard, who played bass, I think. Just a bunch of the staff, they'd get together and they'd play this heavy metal music, and they would dress up and they would make actual images of themselves and their characters in the game and play those instruments, and you could see these characters play in the inn. You can do it during Brewfest. They play in Black Rock. But they made a card called Elite Tauren Chieftain. And if you attended BlizzCon or got the virtual ticket, which I hear you could still buy up to a week after BlizzCon. So anybody who wants to shell out $40 just to get this card, you could probably still do it.
Well, you'd also be able to see the panels. It's not just for the card.
Well, I'm not sure how long the repeat panels last, but they were available on replay, so maybe tomorrow I'll see if they're still there. But here's the card. It's called Elite Tauren Chieftain. It's a legendary. It's gold for us. Has a picture of a Tauren playing a guitar, and it's a 5 casting cost, 5 power, 5 health, and Battle Cry. And for those of you who still haven't played yet, Battle Cry is an ability that when you first play the card, this ability comes to play, and it never happens again until you play that card again in the future. Battle Cry, give both players the power to rock with a power chord card. Now, are there 3 power chord cards, and each one does something different. And while it gives the other player one of these cards as well, which might not be the best thing to do, you still keep your Tauren Chieftain, and they don't get that. And unless I'm wrong, these cards are each named after a song.
Correct.
That has been performed by the Elite Tauren Chieftain.
There are 3 main songs that they play all the time. If you go again in the Dark Moon Fair, you can actually listen to them. And
one
the
is
cards
called
are named
Power of the Horde, which will summon a random Horde warrior. And Rogues Do It, ... We know that means from behind, but deal 4 damage and draw a card. And for those people who love Murlocs, I am Murloc. Summon 3, 4, or 5 1/1 Murlocs. Awesome for Murloc decks, which I hate playing against. In fact, lately I see Murlocs come out, I just concede the game right then and there.
No. No, what's really nice about that is, again, you get your 5/5 Tauren Chieftain card, but then you get that extra card in your hand, and your opponent gets that extra card in your hand. And when you play the card, you get all these chords of music and a light show, and it just absolutely goes nuts. The screen just kind of goes crazy as if you're watching their concert. One thing I do want to let people know, a lot of people were very upset at BlizzCon and through the virtual that they didn't get the cards yet. They gave the little Murloc pet right away. The cards will be available at the next Hearthstone patch. What they're going to be doing is when the next patch hits, they will be emailing the people who got the BlizzCon tickets or the virtual tickets, and will be giving a key code. You just go to your BattleNet account and tie in the key code. We won't have the cards until then, and if people aren't sure why they haven't gotten the card, that is why.
Yeah, Blizzard was very, very quiet about what the card would be until the last moment, and then very, even more quiet about when we would see the card. And as Blacklace said, people were going kind of nuts. Hey, I got my Diablo thing, I got my StarCraft thing, I got my Warcraft thing, where's my Hearthstone thing? It's coming. It'll probably be put into the game at the next big patch. Blizzard tends to patch all their games on Tuesdays, so maybe we'll see it tomorrow.
One can hope.
One can hope. So, now, I mentioned Eric Dodds and Ben Brode doing the main discussion, but one of the interesting things I saw was either Cat Hunter or Jeff Keighley asked Jason Shays, the production director, during their brief interview. They were taking questions from Twitter, and one of them was, will there be an auction house, a live auction house situation? Now, if anybody's played Diablo, one of the big things that they brought out with Diablo, the latest Diablo, Diablo 3, was a real money auction house where people can put their weapons that they've found in game or even gold on the real money auction house, and other players could buy it for real money or for in-game gold. And that turned out to be a broken mechanic. They're getting rid of it. So people wanted to know if you'd be able to do cards this way. And the answer unequivocally is no. Players will never be able to trade cards or buy individual cards. It just, well, Black Lace, you had some extra information on that. Why don't you just tell them?
Actually, they clear out said that there will be no card trading. Their version of card trading is disenchanting. If you want the card, disenchant the cards, enchant to make the cards you want. Their reasoning behind this is that there are new players coming on all the time, and a new player doesn't know the value of the cards for a while. Their concern is that new players are going to come in, don't know the value of the cards, and they're going to be taken advantage of by players who know that this card is an absolutely phenomenal card, and will say, hey, I'll give you these three for that one, and here you do the trade. And about 3 weeks later, they're hitting themselves in the head going, oh my God, I should have kept that card. That can't happen. You're just going to be disenchanting and creating new cards. It's never going to happen, which I actually like that idea. I think that's neat.
Yeah, I like that a lot. The whole enchanting of new cards is a great thing. I'm playing this Hunter deck, and there's one card I've really wanted. I haven't been able to get it in a pack. So I went and disenchanted a bunch of cards that were extras, and some gold cards. The gold cards, they're there as, you know, a vanity item. They look pretty, but they disenchant for more dust than the regular version. So I took a couple of gold cards that I didn't think I would need, and I got rid of them. And I dusted them, as some people are saying, and I was able to get enough dust together to create an epic card. It cost me 400 dust, and I was able to make a snake trap for my Hunter deck, which is really awesome, because it's an interrupt, and we wanted to talk more about interrupts. In Magic the Gathering, you were able to go on your opponent's turn by casting an instant or an interrupt. Black Lace, you want to tell them more about what was said at the convention about going on the other person's turn?
Basically, it's going to be more like secrets. When you're casting a secret, it's going to... I have a secret that if I get attacked, my health will go up. Not my health, excuse me, but my shield will go up 8 the minute somebody else attacks me. There are cards in play that if a secret is played, they will gain... attack mode or defense mode. Also, there are different cards that if somebody attacks me or casts a minion, I'm going to immediately do 4 points of damage to that minion, but it's all done through secrets. So there are little question marks that appear around your character's head that lets your opponent know, oh, she just played a card that's a secret. I don't know what's going to happen. I might be able to attack her, or if I attack her with this minion, it may suddenly get hit for 4 points of damage. If I cast a minion, it may get hit. If I just pop her myself, I may get hit. So the secrets could be a lot of fun, but that's the only way to interrupt. I'm kind of upset, as there is no way to unsilence something. I am praying they come out with a card, because when somebody casts a silence on your minion, you're done. That minion, you can't unsilence it. It's
well, maybe
it's
we should tell
done.
Them what silence does. Silence basically removes the text, the card text, the text that tells what the special ability is from the card completely. So if you've got an ability called Taunt and you've got an ability called Charge, both on the same card, you know, then they're not there anymore. So it's just a regular card with the same power, with the same health, but none of those special abilities apply.
So that's not really an interrupt. That is just an annoying card.
Yeah, that's not an interrupt.
Yeah, the interrupts are the secrets.
Yeah, so the interrupt that I made, for example, is called Snake Trap. So when my opponent hits me, I pop out 3 snakes, 3/1/1 creatures. And you think, oh, 1/1 creature, not that big a deal. But my deck has abilities that enhance my play when extra creatures are called out. Maybe they'll gain strength, maybe I could draw cards. So I could see why it was an epic, and I was happy to get one. And if I save up enough dust, maybe I'll put another one in there. But as Blacklay said, you can never really go on your opponent's turn. They talked about that in the game design, because they used to have something in the game where you can interrupt other people's turns, and they called it combat tricks. It'd be like this big word that appeared, combat trick, and, you know, something would happen and it would interrupt the other player. And they felt that it was just too much an interference in the game.
Too distracting.
Have these combat tricks going off. I think the secrets are a nice way of handling it. If you're not going to be able to physically make a turn on your opponent's turn, then having a little card hidden away on your hero that's from your previous turn is a nice way to go about it. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah. They also, switching topics a little bit, they have tweaked some cards and removed some cards, done a couple of changes to cards that some of us love and some of us hate. One example that I will give, I'll start this off, is the Priest's Mind Control. Mind Control basically grabs whatever card they want that you've got on your deck, on your side. It grabs your minion and makes it theirs. That is one of the things, again, there's no way to reverse that. It's an 8-point card right now, an 8-mana cost card. So if I am playing a Priest and I have Ragnaros appear in my hand, now Ragnaros takes 8 to call him out, and he is an 8/8 creature who cannot attack on his own, so I can't send him to do something. But at the end of every turn of mine, he pops an 8-point fireball at either a random minion or a character himself. Very powerful card. If I see a Priest nowadays, I don't even play it, because the minute I pop Ragnaros out, I see that Mind Control coming at me, and suddenly Ragnaros is breathing fire on me instead. And I don't like that very much. They did tweak that. They've now made it, or probably next patch, it will be a 10-mana cost charge to bring that card out.
Yeah, the forums were alive with opinions about this change. People who had mind control decks where you could steal cards from other people's hands, steal cards from other people's decks, take over cards that were in play. People who run those decks feel that they've been beaten down now, that they're not going to have a chance to play that anymore. As it is, people have already started making decks that could counter it, as is the way in a metagame. You know, something becomes a fad for winning, then you have to create another fad to deal with that. But a lot of people think that going from 8 to 10, 10 is your maximum resource there, 10 mana crystals. Have to use 10 to get out one spell, which may or may not get something good at, they think is really too much, and that maybe Blizzard should have gone with 9 instead. I'm happy, because I don't like having my cards stolen, especially right. If it's a legendary.
Right. And then other cards that got tweaked really hit Autumn's Bane, because Autumn's Bane likes playing the Hunter, and they seem to focus a little bit with the Hunter.
Yeah, well, there's a card, Starving Buzzard. I mentioned it on the last program. It enables me to draw a card every time I summon a beast. It's a 2 casting cost, 2/2, and they're going to... It's kind of a small nerf, but it's still significant. They're bringing its health down to 1, and there are only about 20 ways to get rid of a creature with only 1 health in this game. So it's going to change the way I play. I've already started adjusting my strategy so that I don't even put it on the field unless I'm going to play another beast that turn. I've been going that way. Now I'm going to have to play that way, because for me to play that card and hope that...
Oh, you play that again, a mage, forget it, because a mage will turn around and pop you with 1 point of direct damage and that card's gone already.
At least if I play that and then a couple of wolves or something in the same turn, I can get the benefit of the card, but there's no chance that anybody's going to let it survive to the following turn to do its job. So that's a pretty big hit, and I was a little disappointed, but I guess hunters are really winning a lot with these card draw decks.
And that reminds me, just as a side note, again, this is, you know, we're still talking for people who haven't played or are just learning how to play. There's a symbol that shows up on cards like the buzzard, and there's a healer that comes out. There's a little lightning bolt on the bottom of the card. When you have taunt, you have a giant shield around them. There's another kind of shield that is a one-time shield. When you hit it, it pops. It's kind of like a glistening gold barrier. But with cards that have repeatable perks, let's call them, there's a little gold diamond, a gold lightning bolt. The buzzards have one. That tells your opponent that there's something about this card that every time this situation happens, it's going to do this. Whether it's every time you play this card, it's going to make you draw a card. Every time your creature gets damaged, it's going to heal it. Every time you heal a card, you're going to get an extra card. There are a lot of different ways they play, but that little lightning bolt on the bottom of the card, very important to look at. If you mouse over the card, it will tell you what the card does, and then there's a little black banner underneath it that will tell you exactly what all the special abilities are. So it's built-in tooltips. You still there, Autumn?
I'm still here. Didn't want to interrupt. So the other hunter card that they're going to nerf, and they're not sure exactly how they're going to nerf it, is Unleash the Hounds. Some of my best wins have come from this card. It gives all of your beasts plus one attack and charge. Charge means they can attack immediately. They don't have to wait to wake up on the next turn. And I'm not sure how they're going to go about doing this. Maybe they'll take away the plus one attack and just give a charge. Maybe they'll make the mana cost higher, which is what I'm guessing they'll do.
Yeah, they seem to like playing with the mana cost as a way to tweak the cards.
Well, the cost of the card is very important. You only have limited resources. Unless you are a druid or a shaman who can give themselves either extra mana or borrow against the next turn's mana, there's no way to get extra resources in this game except for the coin, which you may get a 50-50 chance of getting, which will give you just one mana. So the whole idea of being able to use those resources wisely is very, very important. And that's another thing they brought up during the talk that they gave. They talked about the resources. They said, if I do something to you, it might be fun. But if you do it to me, maybe not so fun. Now, there's going to be some of that in any game to some degree. But it made them think about the philosophy of gameplay. They want you to walk away feeling like you had a good time, even if you lose. Or at least not feel as bad. Magic the Gathering had all kinds of really sinister ways of beating you. Like making you discard your hand. Oh, discard a card, discard a card, discard a card. That's not really a fun way to lose.
No, so, They're being very careful to make sure that everybody has a good experience. I think that's also why they're doing the balanced play, where their ranked player is going to be playing against somebody the same rank, so that when somebody comes in who's a level 10 and doesn't have their deck built yet, they're not going to come across a mega player. They're going to come across another level 10 that doesn't have the stars in their little boxes,
and that's why the mana. That's why the mana is also balanced. By giving each player the same amount of mana each turn, with very few exceptions, you don't have situations. Again, I'll use Magic the Gathering as an example, where that resource was land. You'd play a land type. Each land type would give you a certain amount of mana of a certain type, but there were decks designed to destroy that land. Land destruction decks were a very big fad at one time. You destroy all your opponent's land, they have no resources, they can't cast cards.
Right, you can't really touch somebody else's mana. That's a very good point. That's something that you can't. There's no way to make them blow their own mana.
There are ways to give your opponent mana.
Which is silly. I wouldn't want to give my opponent mana, because then he can cast something else against me.
Yeah, those are on some cards. They are very powerful for the amount of mana crystals that you actually spend, so it comes with a hidden cost in that you're benefiting your opponent in some way, like the Mukla legendary. It's pretty badass card to call out right away, but it gives your opponent buff.
Bananas.
It gives your opponent bananas, which you can boost your other characters with, but that's the trade-off.
Yeah, they really came up with some really ingenious cards. They're also, just another side note, they are thinking about new heroes. I was saying last week how we're kind of held to Jaina or Anduin or let's see who else, Thrall or any of those. Those original nine are the only nine you can play right now. They are thinking about adding new heroes in the future. I don't know whether it's going to be with expansions or with patches or what, but it's nice to know that they're going to give us other options as well.
Well, I don't think they're going to give us other options for the existing heroes. I think what they were talking about is if they add a Death Knight or a Monk, we'll of course get new heroes for those.
Yeah, as I was saying, I don't think they're going to let us trade off Anduin for Tyrande. I think they're considering new heroes for new kind of class itself.
But they did show Tyrande as a hero in an early iteration of the game. Do you remember seeing that up on the board?
Yep. They're constantly changing and tweaking. Another tweak that they did was last week, Autumn mentioned Arena having 9 wins. They are moving that up to 12 wins. That's another change they've made.
I'm lucky if I could get past 3.
I'm lucky at 1, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah, speaking of Arena, they went on to this long talk about how they were going to do the Arena. In one of their early advertisements, they call it the Forge. So I think even the name Arena came out much later is a more recent change, because in the advertisement, they're calling it the Forge. I'm like, Forge? What are they talking about? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're talking about Arena.
Right, one of the original videos for Hearthstone show it as a Forge. And I think the philosophy behind that was, as we had said, when you go into the Arena, they give you cards to choose from, and you're limited to the cards they're giving you. You pick 1 out of 3 each time until you have your deck of 30. So you're kind of forging your deck at that moment.
Yeah, and that went through a lot of iterations, because in other card games, especially in tournaments, you go and there's a draft. Drafts work in many different ways. You can open a pack, you pick one card, you pass the remaining pack over to your left, that next person picks a card, and so on and so on. Or you can have a whole bunch of cards laid out on the table and people take turns picking them. So they went through a lot of different ways that they thought this would work, but the problem is they wanted it to be a fast game. So you can't have like a whole bunch of people sitting around waiting to draw cards over the course of an hour or two. So Hamilton Wu, the executive producer, said to them, why not an asynchronous draft? And they're like, oh, an asynchronous draft, meaning you're going to draft your cards, you're going to make your deck, and you're doing this on your own time. You're not having somebody else wait for you to build that deck. You're making the deck on your own time. He's making the deck on his own time. She's making her deck on her own time. And then you start playing the arena with your pre-made decks, and then you decide who you're going to play against with their own pre-made deck. And that way, it doesn't take away from the speed of the game. It doesn't take away from the convenience of the game. I think it was a pretty smart move.
Absolutely. And again, the more they've changed the keys, the look of the keys, when you win a certain amount of games, you get a key to unlock the treasures. And each key looks different. They're actually going to be tweaking that a little bit as well. So the more you win, the more you get. And it's nice because you always get a deck, you always get some dust, and you always get some gold, even when you're only winning one game.
When you win a lot, then you get more dust and more gold. But there's also other things that you can get. The other day, I won an arena game. I haven't won many. I've won 11. Some of them have been total wipes. But one of the rewards I got was, in addition to my deck and a small amount of gold and a small amount of dust, I got a gold card. And I think I went and turned that card to dust so that I could make my epic card. But it's nice to know that you can get other cards. They're usually going to be gold because they want it to feel like treasure. And it was a pretty nice thing that even though I lost badly, I got something as a reward.
Right. And again, you can play this with real money, or you can, I'm sorry, I've got a very loud bird at the moment. You can play it with real money, or you can just spend 150 gold and go into an arena for that. Judging by the arena, with the arena, we also got to watch something that I actually, as I had mentioned earlier, just was very interesting to me, the spectator mode of an esport. There was really an upset at this game. We told you a couple of weeks ago that there was a player who was actually financially backed. His name was Trump, and everybody was thinking he was going to take this show. And we have to send a congratulations out to Artosis, who basically took his decks and finished first. He kind of annihilated Trump.
Yeah, Artosis was sort of the hero of the day. He's actually quite famous because he shoutcasts the StarCraft tournaments. I think he's actually won some StarCraft tournaments. So he comes in, and they had this invitational. Now, they called it the Innkeeper's Invitational because it was by invitation only. They couldn't make it a big legitimate competition with cash rewards. And when I say cash rewards, these StarCraft players left with thousands of dollars.
$100,000 went to SOS, who won the award for StarCraft.
Yeah, he looked like some 19-year-old kid from Korea, and he walks away with $100,000. It just blows the mind how these esports can pay people. But this game's in beta. Not everybody's able to play it. Not everybody's able to practice it or build decks. So Blizzard said there's no way we can have an actual esport. But we can make it seem like one and do it just for fun and maybe give out a trophy or a medal or something. And so this guy Trump is playing Artosis in the first round. There were 8 semifinalists. This is the only match that I watched start to finish. And it was pretty interesting. They had each player was given the chance to use 3 decks, and 7 of the 8 people, Trump being the one exception, had at least a Paladin deck in there. I don't know if Paladins are really that great, but if 7 people are using them, they must be. I'm going to have to explore that. So they had a variety of decks. They don't have sideboards like other games do. It's you play the whole deck, and that's that. So the philosophy was, you play your opponent, you get 3 decks. If you win, you continue to use that deck, but if you lose, that deck is dead, and you play one of the other decks. And Artosis beat Trump 3-1. He just shut him down. And one thing that...
No, Trump did win one. He did win one.
3-1.
Right, 3-1. I'm sorry. He trumped Trump.
He trumped Trump. He just, Trump has these ideas about good play and bad play, and I don't know why he feels this way, but he thinks playing cards with taunt are a bad idea, and he has no cards in any of his decks with taunt. And I tell you, he really could have used some taunt cards against Artosis. Artosis just blew him away over and over again. It was amazing how well Artosis did. And then this guy Artosis, from the very first round, works his way all the way to the finals. I caught 5 minutes of another match against another player named Krip. I saw Artosis beat him too. It was pretty exciting to watch and hearing people actually talking about it. There were some famous casters in the genre, play-by-play, and knowing the deck so well. Oh, he's not going to do well because he's got this card. Oh, he's going to do well because he's got that card. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I have to go back to Trump's philosophy. I don't understand how none of his decks had taunt in it. He doesn't believe in taunt. And you actually, it's a defense mechanism. You need to have some sort of defense. You need to have something blocking things coming at you, because if they can just get through, if somebody lays out a whole bunch of minions, you have no way of stopping them. They're just going to swarm over you. And that's pretty much what happened with Artosis. He just obliterated him because he didn't have any defensive maneuvering.
And you could see how this game really, it calls upon luck. It calls upon deck building ability. It calls upon when how to know when to play one card against another. It shows that it's real strategy. I was reading a forum post before the show where somebody was saying, this is not a strategy game, it's just play a bunch of cards. And that is so wrong. This game has a lot of strategy involved. And some of it you don't find out until you start playing. One of the things that Eric and Ben were talking about was card synergy. They said, okay, you find this card and it's got a pretty weird ability, and say, why would anybody want that? And then you find another card and it's like solving a puzzle. Like, oh, if I put this card with that card, it could be pretty good. Like the Acolyte of Pain. He gets an ability each time he takes damage, but then you have a card called Whirlwind that gives 1 point of damage to all players. You play the Whirlwind with the Acolyte, he takes damage, and there, he gets draw a card or something like that. It's just discovering the way cards work together, and there are going to be players that come up with stuff that no one else has seen before, and, you know, by this stage of the game, there's probably not too much of that going on, but I can see that happening a lot when new expansions come out.
Yep. They also talked about interactions. Emotes was a big question people were asking still, because we're limited to about 6-8 emotes, whether or not we're going to see any kind of expansion for that. And it's very likely. They are talking about it. They are thinking they're going to expand it. They haven't really talked about what they're going to add. They like how it works now, but they did say that we are likely going to be seeing some more emotes showing up soon. So maybe they're listening to our forums where we have a hey, wake up kind of button.
Yeah, and that reminds me, Artosis and Trump, they were so polite.
Oh,
they didn't trash talk each other. It's like, well met, well played.
Yeah, well done. You saw well done. And it wasn't done in... Sometimes people can well done you to death. It was played very artfully. When they really did something good, they complimented each other. At the end of it, there was well played at the end. It was just, and there were thank yous going back and forth. They were very, very polite. It was nice to see.
Yeah, it wasn't like in a boxing interview, like, I'm going to bust him up. This was like, oh, well, I think this is good about him, and that's good. They said, who would you like to play next? To Artosis after Trump had lost. He's like, I'd like to play this guy Crip because I hear he's very good. And so he's good. I want to play him and see if he's good enough to beat me, type of thing.
Good sportsman.
Without saying, yeah, I want to play him so I could kick his butt. It was nothing like that. So it was, you don't really see a lot of friendly...
Kind of like chess players.
Yes, it is very much like, you know, chess playing.
So I play chess, but when you watch a chess tournament, players are very, very polite to each other. Whereas, you know, I mean, I've got to say it, when you're playing war games, you're going to be very, very aggressive.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're not on air when Blacklace is playing against a priest.
No, because there are words that the FCC won't allow.
No, like she makes truck drivers blush with the things she says.
And on that note, I do want to thank our listeners. We now have 172 followers on Twitter. We send out tweets letting people know that our show is coming up, and people have been retweeting our tweets, and it's exciting to see, and we have to thank you all.
Yeah, we picked up a couple during Blizzard, during BlizzCon. I was actually tweeting out some of the plays and some of the wins during the exhibition game, and we picked up a few followers along the way. I'm kind of new with the Twitter thing, so I'm seeing followers and a couple of people actually talking to us. In fact, I said something to Ben Brode, the technical designer, through Twitter, and he sends back, "Wahaha, I love your name." I said, okay, that's our podcast, why don't you listen to it. So we could talk about BlizzCon over and over again, but we're starting to run low on time. I wanted to talk more about luck, because Blacklace has the most amazing luck. I mentioned, I think, in our first episode that she pulled out a deck, a new deck, and she drew a rare, an epic and a legendary. And won't you know, she did it again this week.
Yeah, I did. I got the guy with the bananas. I haven't gotten the legendary that makes me like scream and jump up and down yet. I've gotten a few nice ones. I'm still waiting for a mage legendary, but it's... I literally sit there, and as I said, when you get the cards and they blow up out of your pack, if you hover over them, it'll show you. If it just dances under your cursor and there's no color around it, it's just a common card. But if you hover over it and it's blue, you know that's your rare. Then it'll have an edge of purple. It's your epic. And if you've got that orange glow, you know you've got yourself a legendary too. And I did it twice. It's
unbelievable.
Cool.
Unbelievable. She's just got luck in every game she plays. If she can't get a trinket, and wow.
Let's not talk about that.
The really great things about the legendaries are not necessarily their gameplay. We've played against a few that were like, that's just a lousy card.
They're fun.
And even the top tier players, they're saying, you know what, this legendary's not good, that legendary's not good, they cost too much, they're not that great. But we saw a couple of legendaries even being played in the tournament. But one of the best things about the legendaries is their special effects, just like with the Tauren Chieftain. There's a dragon called Isera, the green dragon aspect. She's closely linked to the Emerald Dream in the lore, and when she has her special ability is to draw these dream cards from the Emerald Dream. An actual portal opens up and you can see the green trees and stuff beyond, and a card issues forth from that. So they've really done a great job with the special effects. And
what it's really doing is just you're getting an extra card, an extra draw. It's coming from your deck, but they give it this ability and flair that it makes it look like it's coming from the netherworld. It's just awesome.
The gentleman at Blizzard, they talked about this game versus physical cards. There are certain things that you can do with physical cards that are just hard to reproduce on screen, but then there are things you can do with a computer game that there's no way you can ever reproduce on a piece of paper in front of you. And you know, the special effects, the sounds, the noises that the monsters make, it's just an awesome thing. Black Lace, did you want to tell them about that really great game you had earlier?
It was really great for me. It was not so great for my opponent. I don't like playing priests. They just, as I said, they steal my Ragnaros and they make me very unhappy. But I was playing this priest, and the card, as I had said before, is Mind Control, where if I were a priest playing this card, I would save it for those huge things that are going to kill me. I had three cards, I had three minions out. I had a very small minion, at a Crocolisk, and then I had the Raid Leader. Now, the Raid Leader is only a 2/2 card on his own, but he gives all the other cards that you, all the their minions you have out, a +1 to attack. He played a Mind Control to steal one of the other creatures because it had the +1 to the attack. Unfortunately, when he stole that, it was only a 2/3 creature that was now a 3/3 creature. It looked more important than my 2/2 Raid Leader, so he stole it. But now the Raid Leader is not helping it anymore, so it dropped down to a 2/3 creature, which I then froze and killed. So then he realized his mistake, and he cast another Mind Control. This time he decided he was going to take my Raid Leader, because that would pump all of his creatures. He didn't have any out yet, but he was going to steal it. So there goes my Raid Leader onto his side. I proceeded to ping that one as well with another kind of mage spell, because I do play a mage deck, and I do like freezing things and zapping things. After it got killed, he did another traditional priest thing. Priests have a habit of stealing cards from your hand or cards from your deck. And they don't steal the card, actually. They make a copy of it in their own. Well, at this point, I had one card left, and he thought I was probably holding my biggest card for last. Well, turns out I was in turn two, so I got the card that was a zero-cost mana crystal.
The ring.
So he thought... I'm sorry?
Not the ring. The coin.
The coin.
The coin.
It's a card. And basically he thought he was going to steal my card, and he stole it. He made a copy of it, and when he looked at it, all he had was a little one mana for zero casting cost card that he stole from me. And he just then and there just conceded, the whole screen blew up. So I felt very bad for him, but just for the priests out there, save your mind control for the big guns. Don't take it on the things that are three or four armor, because you're going to get obliterated very close. Save it for the stuff that matters, like my poor little Ragnaros that I then become defenseless with and get turned to ash.
Well, let's be honest. You really did not feel bad for the priest, because after all, he was a priest.
This is true. This is true. And on that note, before we go, Autumn's Bane, can you remember what happened to you with the unexplained? There are times in the arena that you don't quite line up like you'd like to. You got to be careful when you're doing your draft picks. Explain what happened with that really terrible arena you had with your hunter.
Well, I want to talk more about arena next time, because I think it deserves a lot of talking about. But, you have these 30 picks. So three cards come at you, you pick. Three cards come at you, you pick. And each class has a theme. Each hero has a theme to pick from. And one of the things that I would expect to see in a hunter deck are beasts, just like I would expect to see demons in a warlock deck. And so I chose a few cards that enhanced beasts, and then proceeded to get almost no beasts through the entire rest of the draw. So here I had like three cards that made my beast better, and only like two or three beasts out of a deck of 30. And so that deck did not work as well for me as the hunter deck I had previously played. And there's no way to swap out cards in between. So whatever you get, you get. So I think I'm going to have to learn over time what to pick and what not to pick in arena. It's a pretty costly way to learn, spending 150 gold or $1.99 to do this trial and error. There's a learning curve, and when you're given only three heroes to choose from and you're not really good at any of them, there's a rude awakening there as well. And I had one draw, and it wasn't the hunter. I forget what class it was, maybe the rogue or a paladin, where I actually did not win a single game. I was just three losses, and that was that. So it's a little riskier to play arena than it is to play pre-constructed decks, because when you made the deck yourself and you put a lot of time and energy into it and it wins, there's some satisfaction there. I'm sure there's more satisfaction that comes from a deck that are not cards that you sought out specifically and that were just handed to you, but I'm not at that level of play yet.
Right. I do want to just say one more thing. On your screens, just for the beginners, when you first are logging in into the game, you've got the ability to do the play, the practice in the arena mode. Had a friend the other day who was concerned that she was going to spend real money. When you're looking at the screen, on the lower left-hand corner, you have a little silver disc that says store with a money pouch. You have a gold star with a map in it with an exclamation point. Those are your quests. When you click on the store, it will tell you you have options of buying things. The first thing is your pack, and it's got a gold piece, and it says 100, and it's kind of tan. The next one is two packs, and it's $2.99, and then it goes to the seven packs for $9.99. It tells you your costs. When you hit buy, it says you don't have enough gold to buy that right now. So you know that you can't buy anything with gold. When you click on the two packs, it has a box that says $2.99, buy. If you click on buy, it opens up another window that says summary, items ordered, price is $2.99, plus applicable taxes if any, this will be charged to whatever. You have two very clear boxes, pay now or cancel. And this shows what you want to do. So you cannot accidentally spend money. You then have a box after you close out or buy whatever. Next to my collection, there's a box that says open packs. Right now, I've got a little red circle, red box with a circle in it, zero, meaning I have zero packs that I want to open. If you have a 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever in that, those packs are bought and paid for or already achieved. They're already won. You can open those without fear of actually spending any money. So I just wanted to let people know it's very, very clear the difference between spending gold and spending real money. It will tell you, we're going to charge your master charge, accept it or decline it. And it's right there in front of you. Autumn, you had one other last thing to say.
Yeah, one other last thing. We know that people are listening to us, and we appreciate that you're listening to us, but let us know. Tell us what you think. We are available on Facebook, on Twitter, on email. You can leave us reviews at iTunes. Let us know how you're liking the show and what you'd like to see, or ask us questions you'd like us to address on the air. We really look forward to connecting with our fans.
And again, you can reach us email at awohearthstone@gmail.com, or you can Twitter us at aworthyopponent. If you want to Twitter me, I'm at blacklace_TSW, or you can find us on iTunes. And please, as Autumn said, please, we'd love to hear your reviews. We'd love to give you shout outs and say, hey, this person said this or this person said that, whether it's positive or negative. If it's negative, we're going to do what we can to turn it around to positive. If it's positive, we'll be very happy people.
Very happy. So on that note,
until next week,
happy travels
and happy hearthing. Of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at @WorthyOpponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.